Tonight, what I want to do is share with you a little bit about faith. And I know that a lot of things have been taught about faith in the past. There are a lot of faith preachers. One of the saddest things is how that the faith message has been so corrupted over the years. The Bible preaches faith, and yet when you mention faith, immediately some people cringe, like, you know, you just stuck them with a pen or something. They've just been so turned off by a lot of the preaching that's out there where they say that this is faith, and really what it comes down to is it's about money and it's about stuff. Well, I understand about, yeah, you know, we need to have faith, you know, for money and stuff. I understand that. But some of these preachers, you know, they take it way off into this hyper-prosperity stuff. And, you know, well, if you've got faith, you know, sow the seed and all that. Well, what I want to do tonight is show you an aspect of faith. And it's nothing new. The variations of it have been taught, and I've touched on it, you know, from time to time in the past. But I just want to show something to you that the Lord, I guess you could say, He really impressed upon me here of late. So let's start in Romans chapter 1. And I'll just tell you right now, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses that you've seen in the past concerning faith. So I don't think any of these will be a big shock to you. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 17 it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Well, this ultimately is talking about, or the central theme of this, within the structure of this passage of Romans, is that we have life through faith. Well, faith in Jesus Christ. Meaning that we don't have life through the works of the law. And yet it carries a further connotation. The just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified in the eyes of God. Well, how do we get justified in the eyes of God? Well, you get born again. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. But he said those who are just, those who have been justified in the eyes of God, they shall live by faith. So those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a responsibility to live by faith. In contrast to what? In contrast to works. See, under the law, God had made promises to Israel. Some of those promises had to do with, you know, if you will do this, keep the law, keep the ordinances, blessed will you be in the city, blessed will you be in the field, so on and on it goes. Well, we're supposed to live by faith. They lived by works. They also lived by a degree of faith as well, and we'll see a little bit of that here later on. We're supposed to live by faith, meaning we cannot, if we're going to live by faith, you know, the Bible says that, you know, they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, if we're going to live by faith, then that means that we don't live by our works. We don't live by our actions. Well, this brings up a question, though. If I, who have been made just by the blood of Jesus Christ, am supposed to live by faith, then what does it mean to live by faith? If this is what I'm supposed to do, how do I do it? Now, I think that's a fair question. Now, I'm going to show you a verse in Scripture. And this one single verse out of all in the Bible is the sum total of what it means to live by faith. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to give you a moment to get there because I want you to read along with me. Matthew chapter 4. And as I mentioned, this one verse, this one single verse, summarizes what it means to live by faith. We'll start here in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But here it is. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's it right there. The just shall live by faith. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live alone by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what it means to live by faith. Every word that God has spoken, that's how we're supposed to live. No doubt, no question. In fact, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do this. All you have to be able to do is read or listen. Meaning have somebody read it to you. Man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, what is bread? Let's think now. How do you get bread? Does bread grow on trees? No. Is bread like a watermelon? It grows on a vine out of the ground? No. How do you get bread? Think now. What you have to do is plant wheat, water the wheat. When the wheat grows, harvest the wheat. Then you have to get the wheat off the stalk. Then you have to pound the wheat into powder. Then you have to mix it with water, blah, blah, blah. You know, throw it in the oven for baby and me. Hallelujah. You have to... In other words, bread is a result of our works, our labor, our efforts. Man shall not live by what he works hard to produce, but instead, man shall live alone, singly, by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now, obviously, we need bread, do we not? You know what I'm talking about, you know, food and all that. But that's not how we live. We live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Example, remember the loaves and the fish? Remember that story? They only had, what, 5 loaves, 2 fish? All these thousands of people? And Jesus said... Well, you guys feed them. And they said, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed them? The apostles, they didn't understand. He said, well, what do you have? Well, 5 loaves, 2 fish. He said, bring it here. And so he said, give me the loaves and the fish. And so they gave him the loaves and the fish. Then he took the loaves and the fish, lifted it up to heaven. Now get this, and he blessed it. He opened his mouth and blessed it. Wouldn't you like to know what he said? It's not recorded in Scripture. So if you've got a list of things you want to ask God when you get to heaven, add this one to it. What did you say to the loaves and the fish? So he blessed it. Then he gave it to his apostles and said, feed them. Now, at that point, what did they do? They didn't stand there and say, now, Jesus, you're going to help us out here now, okay? We've got a fraction of a loaf of bread and a fraction of a piece of fish. And we're supposed to feed all these people out here? They didn't stand there and argue with him, did they? What did they do? They began living by every word that had proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Lord. You understand what I mean? Even though in the natural it made no sense. There was no way. I mean, now in their minds, they may have been wondering. I don't understand it, but he said, do this. Jesus is sitting back watching this whole thing unfold right before his very eyes. These people were in groups of 50 and so forth, and here go the apostles. And they're going to each one of these groups, and they're breaking off. And as they are breaking it off, it's multiplying. Now, that doesn't make any sense. And I can imagine their eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time it's done, they had baskets full of fish and loaves left over. What did they do? They did not live by their own efforts. Meaning, how can we make more bread and fish? They lived by every word that had proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus. And when they did that, now listen, the loaves and the fish didn't begin multiplying until they stepped out and began obeying the word of the Lord, what He had told them to do relative to that given situation. And the moment that they stepped out with what they had in their hands and they began to obey Him, God miraculously began multiplying the loaves and the fish. And those people were fed. Now, the multiplication that was taking place, for whose benefit was it? The increase was not for the benefit of the apostles. The increase was for the people they were giving to. And because they weren't stuffing their pockets with loaves and fish. Now listen. They weren't stuffing their pockets with the increase. They took the increase and kept giving and giving and giving and giving, living by every word that had proceeded forth out of the mouth of the Lord. And when it was over, we had what? 12 baskets? And how many apostles? 12 apostles? Those guys were blessed for their labor because the laborer is worthy of the hire. See? That would have never happened if they had just stood there looking at Jesus saying, do what? Do what? Do what? Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. The just shall live by faith. So we could say it like this. The just shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's how we're supposed to live. It doesn't say based on anything. It doesn't give any situation. He doesn't say in case of or when this or if perchance. No, He just says live. On the good days, on the bad days, on the in-between days. On the mountain, in the valley. I mean, whatever your day is like. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, you can't do that if you don't know what the word is. Right? Well, let's take a look here. So here we see this is the key to what it means to live by faith. To live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Well, now, do you have a Bible? The answer is yes, I know you do. That means you have the Word of God. That means you have the ability to live by every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth because you have His Word recorded here in this book. So whatever the situation is, what's His Word about it? Now look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you already know I'm going to go to verse 17. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So then, my faith is going to be, how can I say this? Increased, if you will, as I'm hearing the Word of God. There are a lot of people who read the Word of God, but they don't hear it. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot, I'm talking Christians now. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now see, God can't lie. That means this is the truth. That means if I'm to live by faith and I'm to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, I will live by Romans 10:17, which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What that means is this. I will never, ever, 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 ever buy into anything anybody says, fellow Christians, when they say something like, well, I'll tell you what, I sure gained in my faith when Mama died. Well, you know, God laid me up in that hospital to teach me faith. Well, you know, my faith was increased because of that car wreck. Now see, that's impossible. Listen, that is impossible. Now there are Christians who would argue with me at this point right now. Oh, but you don't know what I went through. You're right, I don't know what you went through. But relative to this, it doesn't matter. Because God has said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, if the just are living by faith and I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, there's only one way faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's it. There's no other way. I can exercise faith during trials and circumstances when I'm laid up in the hospital, whatever it would be. But faith doesn't come from those things. Faith only comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's it. There are no other options to this. And yet, Christians all over the place come up with their own variations of how faith comes. Well, you know, you know what I mean. In fact, some of us maybe even been there before. Believe that kind of stuff. Now, this sounds maybe like a very simple thing. But if the just are to live by faith, and man is to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, this simple truth alone is enough to stop people in their progress. Because if they refuse to accept that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and that's the only way faith comes, if they refuse to accept that and adhere to anything else that says, well, faith came when I had the car wreck and faith came. No, it didn't. But if that's what you believe, then you've stopped yourself right here and right now as far as your faith is concerned. You are not making any progress whatsoever, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's it. So when somebody says, well, I just wish I could get more faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, I know, but I just wish I could get more faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, but you don't understand, I need more faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What is it you're not understanding? See, this is it. It's a simple truth, but it is an unwavering, unchanging truth. And there's nothing we do to get around this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, look over in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the hall of fame of faith, you know, as people put it. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to be sure you get there. We're going to start here in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, how have we heard this taught? Are you believing God for a new house? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you believing God for a new car? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Are you believing God for a spouse? Faith is the substance of things. Haven't we heard it like that? You believe for more money? Faith is the substance. Now, there's an element of truth to that. I understand it. However, what have we learned so far? We've learned that the just shall live by faith, and that we as the just are to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. We've also seen that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that which is a result of hearing and hearing by the Word of God, which is that which you are to live by, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith and the Word cannot be separated from each other. Faith is the substance of those things in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let me just jump to the end of this, okay? Not belabor. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are the things that I haven't seen? What? It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my money. It's the promises of God that I haven't yet seen manifest in my life. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about inheriting all kinds of crazy money and all the way that some people teach it. He's talking about faith is the substance of every promise of God that hasn't yet manifested in your life. That's what he means by this. And then he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By faith. Faith in what? Faith that God's promises would manifest in their lives. Not faith for crazy stuff. Not faith for stuff that wasn't of God. Faith that every word of God, every promise, would manifest in their lives. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Listen, you're not going to obtain a good report from God by believing for something He hasn't promised. You're not going to get a good report from Him by believing for something that He never said He's going to give you. For by it the elders obtained a good report through faith. We understand that the worlds, or the ages of time, not planets, the worlds, the age, the eons, the period of time in which the elders lived. Through faith we understand, we understand that it is through faith that the elders changed the circumstances of the ages in which they lived. How? By the Word of God. What Word of God? His promises. What He said He would do. Everything that He shared with them, all of His promises, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What are the things that do appear? Your bread, the works of your hand. And he's saying what happened was the things that are seen at one time were not seen. Otherwise, it wouldn't have to appear, right? The things that were seen, or the things which are seen, at one time were not seen, but they became seen because the elders stood on the Word of God that He had given to them, and that stand of faith became the substance of the promises which had not yet manifested, but subsequently manifested and changed their circumstances, changed the world in which they lived. Now, here's what's interesting. It's almost like God knew a bunch of people would have a hard time with this and wouldn't believe that Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 didn't have anything to do with them becoming millionaires. Or getting Cadillacs, or Corvettes, or great big old houses. It's like God said, you're not going to believe me in this. I know you're not, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in this same chapter from verses 4 all the way to verse 40. And I'm going to give you example after example after example after example of people who stood on my promises until my promises manifested in their lives. And that's what happened all throughout. Just read it. We're not going to do it tonight. Take the time and read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 40. And what you're going to find out is that God is saying, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. I had made a promise to them. I had given them instructions. I had told them what would be. I had told them what to do. And they took my word and accepted my word, even though the very thing I told them could not yet be seen. But because they took my word and accepted my word, and in spite of the fact that my word presented to them in some cases impossible situations, take the loaves and fish and feed the thousands, they stood on it, and because they stood on my word, not on their bread, their works, and what they could do, then eventually the age in which they lived was completely changed. Their society was impacted and changed because they did not waver from my word. They accepted my word and stood on it. It's just like, you know, he gives the example here of Abraham. Abraham is about ready to kill his own son. Why? Because he had a word from God. He had a word from God, and the word from God said, Abraham, out of your loins is going to come your heir, like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. I mean, he gave these incredible promises. And Abraham said, I have no clue how this is going to happen. However, you said it, and so I'm going to stand on it. He stood on that word. And then God came along later on and he says, you know what? We're making some progress here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means the father of nations. And he says, okay. So he's standing on the word. And he's speaking that word. He's speaking the promise of God. I am Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Dude, you're 99 years old. You ain't the father of nothing. Well, then we know what happened. The miracle took place. And because he stood on God's word and his faith in the word of God, it produced a son named Isaac. And then God says, Abraham, I want you to see what I see in you. Take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. God knew what was going to happen. He knew the outcome. But he wanted Abraham to see something in himself. And I'm not going to get into all the why the sacrifice and so forth. But Abraham did that. I mean, he takes his son, you know, puts him up there on the altar. Takes the knife, you know, and he raises. He's getting ready to kill the kid. The heir. He's getting ready to kill him. Why? Because in his mind, God has already given life to my dead body and Sarah's dead body. So it doesn't matter what happens here. God can give life to this dead body as well. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be good. And so he says, I'll just go ahead and kill you. I mean, you know, everything's cool. You'll come back. And then all of a sudden, the angel says, wait a minute. Don't do that. Here, kill this ram over here. And Abraham says, whew. But do you see what I'm saying? When you go through Hebrews chapter 11, it's not about houses and money and cars and camels and all this other. No, it is about God's promises which could not be seen, and yet people stood on the Word of God and through their faith in His Word and acting upon His Word through their faith, it caused those promises to manifest in the natural. That's what he's talking about here in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, then, on top of that, if you look in chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this thing right here, in chapter 12 here, verse 1, where it talks about that cloud of witnesses, I mean, I used to hear people talk about, well, God pulls back the curtains of heaven. And it's like, and the image is like there's this, you know, all these bleachers are set up in heaven, and God pulls back the curtains so that everybody up in heaven can, you know, look down and watch us. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want them watching me. I mean, listen, if you really believe that, wouldn't you take a shower in the dark? Turn the lights off. You understand what I'm saying? That is not what this means. What do witnesses do? You know, you watch television and the crime shows and courtrooms. What do witnesses do? Witnesses sit on the witness stand. You used to hold truth and nothing but so help you God. Yes, I do. And then they say, all right, now, you tell us. What did God do for you? Well, my name is Abraham and God did this. Well, my name is Enoch, and God did this. Well, my name is Isaac, and God did this. Well, my name, and on and on and on it goes. The witnesses are the people in chapter 11 who have gone before us, and they are so many in number, it's like a cloud. A cloud of people who have gone before us, who have stood on the Word of God, And even though the promises couldn't be seen in the natural, they still accepted that these promises would be seen in the natural. And so he says, listen, that was them back there. Because if you go through chapter 11 and read all of chapter 11, what you'll see is he's talking about people who weren't even born again. They had never received the promise of salvation. But yet they still stood on the Word of God, and they saw things manifest which previously could not have been seen. And so he says in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, look, wherefore, seeing all these people were able to accomplish great things in their unsaved condition during the period of time of their lives, changing society because they stood on the Word of God and in faith, they gave substance to the promises which subsequently manifested. He says, listen, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. All right, now, first off, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Well, what's every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us? Well, let me just summarize this, okay? What he's talking about is everything which would hinder you believing every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Everything that causes you to sit back and doubt the Word of God. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you know, you've got this condition. Now you've got a choice. Your body, now listen to me. If the doctor says the lump is there, then guess what? The lump is there. But if God has said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, what word are you going to live by? The doctors have said this, but God has said this. And God's word cannot fail. I am supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And God says, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. God says, Jesus took stripes on His back and by His stripes I was healed. God says that healing is through the atonement, the completed work of Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. So now what am I going to believe? What word am I going to stand on? What is going to be my Hebrews chapter 11 experience with God? What will I speak as a witness? You see what I'm saying? He says, we've got all these people that have gone before us, who stood on the Word of God, that received the promises manifested. So therefore, for us as believers, lay aside every weight. Well, that image is something that holds you back, a weight. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Then he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, well that brings up an interesting question. What is the race that's set before us? What is the race that's set before you? You say, Brother Martin, I ain't got no clue. The race that is set before us? I mean, to summarize it, okay? Just to summarize it. To live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. To live by faith. You say, well, no, I always thought that, you know, the race that was set before me was to fulfill God's call upon my life. All right, well, what's His call? He's called me to be an evangelist. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, I'll go out and preach. Yeah, but if you're not living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, you're not going to be the evangelist He desires. And if you happen to be an evangelist and you stand up behind a pulpit and you start using Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 to pull money in for offerings, you're not living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. The race that is set before us is to be obedient to God, to live as Christ, and as the just, to live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now look over. Well, I'll tell you what. You're in chapter 12. Okay, stay here. Chapter 12. Look in verse 2. In verse 1, he has told us, see, we're kind of sandwiched in between chapter 11 and chapter 12, verse 2. Chapter 11 is about the people who went before us, people who did not have God's life in them, but yet they still brought about changes because of their faith. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, when it comes to you, the just, lay aside everything that's going to hinder your faith, everything in you, everything about you that could keep you from living by faith and run with patience. Run with what? With patience. What kind of patience? The kind of patience that says God made a promise. It is going to come to pass. Run with patience the race that is set before us. And he says, but not only that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at this. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now look here. Who for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy set before him? Well, ultimately, the joy that was set before him was mankind being restored unto God. But that hadn't happened yet, had it? No, it hadn't manifested. Here's verse 2 is talking about a promise that God had made to Jesus. God said to Jesus, Son, if you will go to earth and you will live, 33 and a half years, and the last 3.5 years of your life down there on earth, live for me, operate in ministry. Okay, let's just say it like that. And then go to the cross. And on in between, the time of your arrest to the cross, allow yourself to be beaten, allow yourself to be whipped, don't call 12 legions of angels, allow people to pull your beard, allow people to kick you, beat you, spit on you, abuse you in every way you can think, and then allow them to whip your back, put stripes on your back, and then let them nail you to a cross. And if that's not bad enough, son, here's what I want you to do in conclusion. I want you to relinquish back to me my life in you, and in its place, I want you to receive the sin of all humanity into yourself. I want you to be made their sin. And Jesus is saying, okay. And why do I want to do this? And God says, well, here's the good part, son. If you'll do that, every human on earth from that point on will have the opportunity for their sin nature to be removed from them and receive from me the same life that you now have. And if you do that, we'll be able to save people right and left and get them restored back into fellowship, back to my original Genesis 1 and 2 plan for creation and mankind. And Jesus says, are you serious? You'll do that. All I have to do is go down there and experience all that. And you're telling me you're going to... What was the joy? The joy of humans being restored back unto the Father for the promise that God had made to him that had not yet manifested by faith. Jesus stepped out of heaven, came down to earth by faith. He allowed himself to be whipped, beaten, kicked, and all these other things. By faith, he allowed himself to be crucified. And by faith, he yielded his life unto the Father. And he took our sin and died under the penalty of that sin. And by faith, he went to hell in our place because he believed the promise that God had given to him, the joy that was set before him. And then God raised him from the dead. That's the ultimate example of trusting God. Amen. That's the ultimate example of living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And He did it. And He did it for us. And I want to show you something. It goes right along with this. Look in John chapter 9. In fact, if you have a marker, leave it in Hebrews 12. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. But back over in John chapter 9, take a look here at what Jesus said in verse 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, no man can work. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. I must work the works of Him that sent me. Well, let's see a little bit more about this. Look in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. That's bread. If He had tried to do something of Himself, that's living by bread. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but, now look here, what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, I don't know about you, but that just sounds a little strange. You say, well, what do you mean? Jesus says, whatever He sees the Father do, He says, that's what I do. Well, Jesus, what are you seeing the Father do? Well, let me just try to briefly paint an image here. The Father gives Jesus a revelation of what will happen when He, Jesus, prays for the sick. Now, these people aren't healed yet, are they? No, they're not. The maimed aren't made whole yet, are they? No, they're not. The devils aren't cast out yet. No, they're not. But the Father gives the Son a revelation of what will happen if the Son does what the Father has revealed to Him will happen when He is obedient. I must work the works of Him that sent me. And so Jesus, before anybody's healed, before anybody's delivered, before the maimed are made whole, before devils are cast out, before any of this, Jesus, He takes the promise of God that says, Son, if you will go do this, what I'm showing you, the result is they'll be healed. They'll be delivered. He says, okay, I'm going to do it. And so He walks out to the masses and be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Well, why did He do that? Because He had a promise from God it would happen. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So He goes about doing the works of the Father. The Father gave Him the revelation of what would happen when He was obedient. So He took the word of the Father. He obeyed the word of the Father. He did the works of the Father and got the results of the Father. And He says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Well, now look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And just go ahead and jump down to verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. We don't have to go to the rest of that verse. He said, if you believe in Me. Now, what He's saying is, if you believe in Me the way that I believed in the Father, then the works that I did, which were the works of the Father, you too shall be able to accomplish. It'll be the same works. Well, how do you know that, Jesus? Well, because the Father made a promise to Me, if I would do these things, these are the results that we would get. I did these things, we got these results. Now, here's what I'm telling you. When you are born again, you believe in Me, then the works that I do, you shall do also. Do you understand? Look here. You know what verse 12 is? That first half of that verse 12? Well, actually the whole verse, but we're just focusing on the first half. You believe on Me, the works that I do, shall you do also. Okay, you know what that is? That is a promise. That is a promise. Now, let's say it like this. For the joy that is set before us. What joy has been set before Me? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything Jesus did, He said, the works I do, you'll do also. What's the joy that's set before Me? I've seen what Jesus can do. Jesus saw what the Father can do, and He did it. I now read this, and I see what Jesus can do. Now I am supposed to be doing it. For the joy that is set before Me, what joy? I'm going to pray for you. You're going to get healed. I'm going to pray for your kids. They're going to get delivered. I'm going to pray for the maimed. They're going to be made whole. For the joy that's set before Me, that the works of God can manifest through Me in your life. He said, but you've got to believe this. What does that mean, Jesus? Well, what it means is this. You've got to live by faith. What kind of faith? Faith in My promises. Faith in My word. My words are spirit and they are life. You've got to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. If you do this, then what's going to happen is you're going to see these works begin to manifest. Well, take a look in Luke chapter 1. We're going to get some further proof in this. Luke chapter 1. And what's happened is the angel has appeared before Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, and even though you're a virgin, the power of God's going to come upon you, and so on and so forth. You guys know the story. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the angel says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, what was Mary... Well, in fact, look at the next verse. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? Thy word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God." Mary had a word from God. "You're going to have this baby." She says, "Well, I don't understand how." And the angel says, "Hey, listen, with God, nothing shall be impossible." And she says, "Okay, be it unto me according to your word." She acted in faith on the word of God. Even though she wasn't pregnant, even though she was a virgin, even though there was nothing in the natural that she could see that would confirm this, she had the word of God and she acted upon the word of God, and, well, we know the rest of the story. Hallelujah. Our Savior was born. Praise God. Well, now look over in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. So we're seeing that with God, nothing's impossible. And I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. I'm supposed to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I live by faith and I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, should I not be getting word results? Whatever. Remember, you know, I don't see the manifestation. But if I believe God and I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth, then whatever word He has given, whatever promise He has made, I can begin to see them manifest. Not what I think should manifest. And this is where so many of the faith preachers have missed it. They have basically, and I don't think they meant to do it on purpose this way, but they have taught us to believe in faith for what we think should happen and take place. But it doesn't work that way. We're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So if I'm living that way, it doesn't matter what I want to see manifest or not. It doesn't matter what I think or what I'd like to have. What matters is what God has said. And so here in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, Mount of Transfiguration, they're coming back down from the mount, verse 14. When they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic, sore vexed. Oft times he falleth into the fire and off in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Well, glory to God. Well, Jesus, boy, he did it again. Yeah, but Jesus turned right around and said, "If you believe me, the works that I do, you shall do also." That means every devil-possessed person that's, you know, comes to us, we should be able to get that person delivered. Cast that thing out. Listen, there are some of you in this room right now, you've suspected you've got family members that are possessed of devils. Now, you know that. There are times when you've gotten around some of them and you've got the ooey-gooeys on the end. You know what I'm talking about? Those feelings of something just ain't right. Well, God's trying to help you see something here. Well, anyway, Jesus rebukes the devil. It departs out of him. Kid was cured. Then came the disciples to Jesus separately, apart, when everybody else was not listening. And they said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." Well, what? Unbelief. Because, well, he just talked about faithless, perverse generation, verse 17. He could have said, "Because of your lack of faith. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder, and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Well, now, wait a second. We just read over there where the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible. And now Jesus says, look, if you've got your faith the way it ought to be, then you're going to be able to speak. And when you speak, things are going to happen and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now let's think about this. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live alone by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. With God, nothing is impossible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when I've got all of that operating in my life, then I can speak, I'll get the results, and nothing shall be impossible to me. Why? Well, with God, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible. And if nothing shall be impossible to me, then what that means is I am living, operating, and acting by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Otherwise, things would be impossible, would they not? So with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And for me, nothing shall be impossible if I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus talks about here, verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He's talking about the unbelief. He's talking about getting rid of the unbelief so that faith can dominate these situations. Now, I want you to turn back to Mark chapter 11 and see something. In verse 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what's happened? We've heard all these sermons and ministers, preachers telling us, you know, speak that car into existence. Speak that house into existence. Speak that money into existence. Now, I understand there is a principle relative to confessing the promises of God. Okay, I understand that. And I'm not refuting that. But the focus has been on what we want, not on what God wants. Therein lies the problem. Because if I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God, then that means, look here, verse 23, that what I am speaking is what God has already said. What he says right here, verse 22, have faith in God. So therefore, that means that when I have faith in God, how do I have faith in God? I believe every word that has proceeded out of His mouth. And by living by every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth and having faith in Him and in His Word, then I turn right around and I start speaking unto the stuff, not because it's my will, but because it's His will revealed in His Word. I'm speaking His desires. Living by faith means you talk the way God talks. You know what? Something God doesn't do? He doesn't fuss and complain about everything. God doesn't talk like a... Can you imagine what this world and what your own life would be like if God talked like us? Would we be in a mess or what? Most of us would be dead by now. Oh, this hip is killing me. Well, what if God said, oh, that hip is killing you? He said, my word won't return void. It'll accomplish. You know, you get mad at your husband or your wife. He's the dumbest, stupidest, most ignorant, most brainless boob I've ever known. And what if God said that? Your husband is the dumbest, stupidest. The situation would be worse. When I live by faith, and this is a challenge now, when I live by faith, I'll talk like God talks. That's what Jesus did. Remember, he said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. When you're going to live by faith, what comes out of your mouth is what has come out of God's mouth. You understand the principle here. Doesn't mean you're running around quoting Scripture. It just means you're speaking the essence of the Word of God. And he says right here in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, God, I want a new car. Oh, God, I want 5 new cars. Oh, God, I want a big screen TV. I want 2 big screen TVs. Oh, God, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Freddy and my wallet is ready. Come on, God, pour it out. No. That is not the kind of prayer he's talking about. But that's the kind of prayer we're led to believe by a lot of the preachers that are out there. He's talking about when you pray. If you have faith in God and you're living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then what you pray is going to be what God has already established as His will and His word. So you know when you pray according to His word, you're going to get it. He says, have faith in God. Believe every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth. And when you pray those words, when you pray that way, you're going to get answers. Now look back over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to show you something in this. We've already learned about chapter 11. We've already learned about chapter 12, verse 1. We're the chapter 12. We're the verse 1 people. Then he tells us in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now, if I'm going to look unto Jesus, what does that mean? Well, let me give you an example of what that means. That I will go back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I will observe the life of Jesus. I will look unto Jesus. Guys, listen. I appreciate what Jesus has done for me, but what He's doing in heaven is not as relevant for me as what He did when He was here on earth. Do you understand what I mean by that? I know He's on the throne and all that, but what you do up in heaven is a whole lot different from what you do here on earth. He's not healing anybody in heaven. He's not casting devils out of anybody up in heaven. He's not making the maimed whole up in heaven. Why? What kind of stuff is going on up there? You don't have a bunch of sick, dying, devil-possessed, maimed people up in heaven. It's just not like that. However, I'm here on earth, and Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, this is talking about people on earth. And so he says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So if I'm going to look unto Jesus to get an idea of what it means to live by faith, then I'm going to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and observe what Jesus did. And look at this. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, now, you'll notice there are two things here. Looking unto Jesus, the author, and looking unto Jesus, the finisher. See this? Two distinct things. Now, what does an author do? An author writes, does he not? Jesus, the author, has done what? He's given us this book. My words are spirit and they are life. So with that, looking at it from that angle, Jesus has authored this book, and then he has said, you are not to live by your own works, what you can produce, but you are to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So here he has authored this book, the words of God that I'm to live by, all right? But it also says he is the finisher of our faith. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He has authored what is necessary for faith to come into my life, the word of God. But it also says he is the finisher. Now, this word finisher, it's a word, think in terms of a woodworker who takes a block of wood, and, I mean, that block of wood, it's there, it's real. But the woodworker takes a block of wood, begins sanding, sculpting, cutting, finishing, lathing, whatever, you know, applying the stain. And by the time that he's done, it's a work of art. You understand what I'm saying? It's still wood. But as a block of wood, it has not been finished into the completed project, the completed work. Okay? But it says here that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, we know, I mean, relative for this message, we know what he's done to author. He's given us the word, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But what's his finishing part? How does he finish or complete or perfect? It's another definition of this word finisher. How does he perfect our faith? Well, let me show you. Turn back over to John chapter 14. Well, actually, just go to 16. John chapter 16. In John chapter 14, what had happened, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and he said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That word, another, relative to another comforter, means basically someone identical to the comforter you now have. Well, who was the comforter they had at that time? Oh, Jesus, right? And he says, but I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you somebody identical to me. He's been with you, but he shall be in you. Well, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are God. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. Well, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 16, in verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, meaning the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, he says he's going to guide me into all truth. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 17 that God's Word is truth. So God's Word is truth. And I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is the author. He's given me the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And so the Holy Spirit is going to guide me into all truth, which is the word of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is going to guide me into the fullness of that which causes my faith to come. In other words, he's going to work with the truth that is in me, or the word that I have taken in, to help me understand how to live by that truth. When I look over in Jude, turn all the way over to Jude. And in Jude, we're going to take a look at one verse. You probably already know which one. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. If I believe every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and I live according to every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then I'm going to be able to do the works of Jesus just as He said. And the Holy Spirit says, well, right now, you know, you can take the Word in. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But we don't want to just leave it at that. What we want to do is perfect and polish and finish this faith so that as you're living by it, you're going to get God's results here on earth, and you're going to do the works of Jesus. Now, when we pray in tongues, and I've taught on this before about anointing and so forth that comes with praying in tongues. What did it say over there in Hebrews? Let us lay aside every weight, sin, that so easily beset us. So in other words, those things are keeping me from running the race of fulfilling the Word of God and living by the Word of God or living by faith. All right? Jesus said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed and so forth, nothing shall be impossible unto you. In other words, what this is getting down to is, if we are living, truly living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, that means we will not doubt the Word of God. That means God's Word is going to produce through us just like it did for Jesus. In our minds, and because of the body of Christ, the way it is today in the world, essentially, we are not truly taught to believe we can do the works of Jesus. And we are not taught that we are supposed to truly live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. In other words, if you're going to live by faith, you cannot live by anything other than what God has said. You can't. Now, what did God say? We just read it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, sure, anointing. Sure, revelation. All these things are going to happen. But do you understand that as I'm praying in tongues, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith that has come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is finishing my faith on the inside of me. That also means that the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of me to help me deal with all of the weights that are the weights of unbelief that are keeping me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing in this life. And herein lies the problem. The majority of the Christians that I have met and had discussions about faith and getting faith results and so forth, the majority of them speak as though their faith is already the finished product and that they are doing exactly what it is that God expects, but the results aren't there. And so therefore, they question God by saying, I don't know why it didn't happen. I don't know why God didn't do. Here's the reason it didn't happen. It isn't that God won't do. God's trying. It isn't that God won't do. But what it means is, your faith is not what it's supposed to be, and you're not living by every word of God the way you think you are. Because if we were, and this is, I'm telling you, this is the harsh reality. If we were, we'd be getting the results that God has promised. And here's the kicker. You have people in the Old Testament who were lost, who demonstrate more faith than many Christians. And we have God's life in us. Now that's kind of a put down. If they could accomplish what they did by faith, how much more should we be able to accomplish? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Man shall not live by anything other than the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way. I mean, this is an indictment on me too. There's no other way to get around this. And when I'm praying in tongues, it isn't... One of the biggest mistakes that a lot of us have made, those of us who preach about praying in tongues, is that we've given the impression that it's only about power. And I've had so many people contact me. I've been praying in tongues for, you know, X amount of time, year, two, what, three, 4 years, whatever. I've been praying in tongues, you know, all this time, and still, now listen, and still nothing's happening. People still aren't getting healed. I'm still not seeing the result. Well, okay, what you have to understand is that, now think with me here. You're praying in tongues to get power. Okay? We're supposed to be praying in tongues to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. So if I approach my prayer time praying in tongues to get more anointing, then what I'm doing is I'm praying in tongues for my benefit so that I have the power. But what I'm supposed to be doing is praying in tongues to get rid of the weights and the things that are holding me back from living by faith so that I can live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. That's what I'm supposed to be focusing on. And when I get my priorities right, you know what's going to happen? Anointing and power will come, just like it did with Jesus. Here's what I'm getting at. God says we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth. That's what living by faith is all about. When we pray in tongues, don't go into that kind of prayer saying, oh, I got to have power. Oh, God, I'm going to pray in tongues, you know, so that this will change and this thing over here will change. Go before God and say, listen, you know, I'm praying in tongues to get rid of the weight that so easily besets. Because I want to live by every word you have spoken. I want to, when I read the Bible, I don't want to read it and think, what if? I want to read it and think, yes. When I read it, I don't want to read it and think, that's not me. I want to read it and believe that is me. That's me in those pages. That's me doing that. That's me. The moment you...
See, when you ever prayed for anybody you were afraid that you were going to be embarrassed to pray for them? You ever been there? See, that's not living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, because when you're living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, you're going to pray for people and you don't give a hoot what other people think about it. Let them criticize you. They criticize Jesus. Hey, listen, those people saw miracles take place right before their very eyes, and they're looking at the miracle results, people getting healed and all this stuff, and they still criticize Jesus. So you know what? Get over yourself. But all that apprehension, that's unbelief. All the what ifs, that's unbelief. All the I don't think this is going to, that's unbelief. We're supposed to get to the point to where we're not living by the bread of this world, but we're living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And guys, I'm telling you, when we do that, we're going to start getting the results that God has revealed in His Word. And praying in tongues, yes, power, yes, anointing, all those things are true. However, the Holy Ghost wants to help get us to the place to where the junk of unbelief on the inside is gone, so the faith can work the way it worked in Jesus. So from now on, when you go to praying in tongues, don't sit there and give God a shopping list of everything you expect Him to do. You know what I mean? Just say, listen, God, I'm praying in tongues because I need to be edified above the unbelief. If you've got habits and behaviors in your life, well, ain't nothing going to change. Pray in tongues. Say, God, help me polish my faith. Help me finish my faith to walk in victory over this thing, because Jesus has already paid the price for me to have the victory. Now I just need to walk it out. I need to live by Your Word concerning this victory. I mean, we could give example after example, but I just want to encourage you tonight. Don't live your life thinking that praying in tongues is just about power and it's just about anointing. No, it's about helping us develop our faith and get it polished to live every moment by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. See, you can't have a prayer line and lay hands on people and impart faith. Oh, Brother Martin, pray for me that I'll have more faith. I'll pray for you that you'll want to be hungry for the Word, but I mean, I can't pray for you to get more faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Boy, you know what? When you just start reading the Bible and say, this is how I'm supposed to live. And you know what? When you go through and you read, it'll be an eye-opener. You'd be saying, I don't do that. I don't live like this. I haven't put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. I still, you know, got a bit of that old man on. Here's the thing. In our minds, it may seem like it's very, very difficult to live by every word that comes forth out of the mouth of God, but the more we live by every word that God has given us, the easier it will become. We won't have doubt that it's going to happen.